Blog Talk Radio.
Not have a David Wood.
make the dream become a reality. I know we will, because our hearts tell us so.
Martin Luther King Jr. Amen, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Dr. Happy Leah Killings, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God, but I am wonderfully excited tonight to talk about a topic that God has held dear to my heart. Praise God. But before we get into the lesson, I almost got excited and started, but I want to make sure that I always, always acknowledge the people that are brand new to the broadcast. If you're listening for the very first time, as I said, this is Empowered to Change, and this is Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so it is our goal to make sure that you learn something or hear something today that will encourage you, something that may be and not be a brand new topic to you, but at least will give you some insight to look up more that will lay on your heart. So it can be something that you will educate your heart and your life to. And then when you do the things that God has led you to do, we pray that you will be empowered to make those necessary changes. And then not keep it for yourself, but be empowered to share it with someone else. So thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. I know for certain that I have two new listeners, because one I met on Saturday, praise God. And so if I could give her just a little shout out, Dr. Evelyn Evans. And then I know that Denise Logan, my wonderful, wonderful student, invited Marie Dunson. So praise God. Thank you, too, for listening in short notice. And so I'm grateful that you decided to tune in. And for all of the new listeners that are listening, whether you're listening today, next week, or next year, praise God, I thank you for always tuning in. I also make sure that I give a major, major shout out to those that have been with me. Praise God. Can you believe we're moving into 9 years we've been in this thing? And I know that I've been encouraged. I know that I've been educated and been influenced by the topics that you've given me to study so that I can gain more understanding and information. And then you empower me with your prayers and your text messages and your love and consideration on the show, off the show, you know, and just in my normal walk. And so I'm just always grateful for you. So I'll always make sure that I acknowledge you. And then, praise God, I cannot go without acknowledging the two people, Jesse and Tammy from the Omega Ministry Group, that has always, always, always been kind and wonderful to me. And then, praise God, when there was an opportunity, they put me on this platform and told me to go. And they have been more than patient and understanding and loving me to push me to do what God has called me to do, and then provided a platform for me to do it on. And so I'm forever grateful that they decided to do this for me. And so I'm grateful, and we'll always shout their names out and shout out the ministry. But more importantly, we all have to give a great, great big shout out to God, because without him, none of this would be possible. So we always start with an upbeat song, and today I thought it was appropriate to acknowledge Martin Luther King, praise God, because he has done quite a bit for our country, and praise God, his legacy continues to live on. And then we share the acknowledgments of those of you listening in, and then praise God, we have to give God his glory before we go into the lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for giving us our life and strength. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to enjoy, some of us, the snow that doesn't normally have snow. But we thank you, Father, for just all your nature things that you do for us that just allows us to understand who you are, how you can be the sunshine, how you can be the rain, how you can be so many things in our lives, Father, and how you've given us all these resources that we can equate some of the things, Father, that we just see in nature to our lives to have a better understanding of who you are and what we mean to you, because you have made us greater than the air and the trees, because you loved us enough that you put part of you in us. And so, Father, we thank you for all the resources. I have to acknowledge your word, because without it, Father, we wouldn't really understand what it is to be disciples for you, what it would mean to hear and know your voice and to be in your presence. So, Father, we thank you for the word. And most importantly, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that you left a part of you here for us so we can feel your touch, that we can feel your presence, that we can acknowledge things that we have never thought we could see or dream because the Holy Spirit moves and guides and leads us. And then, Father, we cannot not accept fully what the pay for our penalties of sin. And so we just thank you, Father, for the blood because it still works. Amen. We know that we can call on the blood of Jesus and demons have to flee. And so we thank you, Father, that you put all of that together for us and that you thought enough of us to allow us to know that you are the vine and that we're branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear the fruit that will remain. Because without you, Father, we can do absolutely, positively nothing. We think we can, but we are sure and quick to find out that we can't. And so, Father, we just pray that you will always remain in us and our words will always remain in you so that we can always have the things that we desire. And so this night, we ask, Father, that you remove me and allow your word to come forth and teach this lesson like never before, to create the change that is necessary for all of us to walk in victory. We love you, we honor you, and we adore you, and we thank you, Father, that no distractions, no hindrances, anything will come and hinder this process from going forth because it's all about you, Lord, and we thank you, and we love you, and we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings again with Empower to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so over the past couple of weeks, we have been talking about all different kinds of things about how we can get ourselves together, and not necessarily because it's the beginning of the year, because I don't believe in New Year's resolutions as much as I do. If you know that there needs to be a change, you make the change. We don't have to keep extending periods of time to create change, but we know God wants us to make those necessary changes. Because when we do make those delays, then they're not as successful, and it's not successful because they're not doing what God has called us to do, because God is a now God. He also does things later in his timing, but it's not really later because he's always on time. And so sometimes we can be slow. I think God is slow. But we have to be patient and do the things that are necessary so that we will line up with his word. Because if we don't line up with his word, then we can't expect his promises. Amen. So praise God. I want to make sure that, again, that I go back to Dr. King for just a few minutes because we want to make sure that we acknowledge him. But more importantly, he does go along with the lesson. And so the reason why we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King wasn't because he was an awesome man, and that he was. But more importantly, he was a man that walked of God. And so I say that because, unfortunately, when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated in April of 1968. But he left a mark that could not be erased with our nation, well, pretty much with the world. And so we want to make sure that we always acknowledge him. And like I've always said, when holidays come, some are paganistic and all the sorts of people always often say, I don't do this, I don't do that. I always see them as an opportunity to share the gospel, an opportunity to share God's love. Valentine's is coming up, and so, you know, we don't really, those of us that believe, don't necessarily believe in quote-unquote Cupid, and that he's standing around somewhere or flying around with a bow and an arrow and a little heart and passes out chocolate. We believe that that's an opportunity, those of us that know, use that opportunity because to share God is love, because it's the day of love, use it. And so I love that we take time to acknowledge different holidays on the calendar because it gives us a prompting. Those of us that are a little shy in evangelizing and witnessing, use those opportunities to take advantage to actually share the goodness of God and coordinate how you can, or, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute about being prepared, but how you can maneuver to make sure that you get into the ears and the hearts of people so they can hear about the goodness of God. And one of the things that I love about Dr. Martin Luther King is that he was a minister and that he was an activist, and he was an eloquent spokesman and a leader through the American Civil Rights Movement. Now, he could have, like many of us, become afraid, you know, with all the things that he's gone through. But just some of the things that he had to go through and had to tolerate was exciting to me when I kind of looked up just some little facts, because, I mean, most of us learned about Dr. Luther King in school and and we hear different stories around this time. My favorite go-to is Google, said that his name wasn't originally Martin, it was Michael, and that he entered college at 15, and that he had his doctorate of theology. And then, of course, we all know about the famous speech, "I have a dream." But did you know that he was in prison more than 30 times? And so just those few little things kind of put me in the park of where I believe God wanted me to go. Now, the topic that God gave me, and I was so excited about it because I heard it this week. I wanted to save it for another time because I knew I was going to talk about Martin Luther King. But God gave me an opportunity to create how to put those two titles together. So the topic of the little structure sentence that I heard this week was be ready and don't get ready. You need to be ready. And so when I thought about it, I wrote it down, I thought that's really cool. And so I looked it up. And when I looked it up, it was important to me to understand that one of the things that I learned maybe 30 years ago, I had this book and it was called Be. And it had everything that was listed of what you should be. We shouldn't be becoming. We should already be. Now, even in the be, there's still a preparation. And so I believe Dr. King understood that he was to be the civil rights leader for that time. And the reason why I believe that is because he was getting ready, praise God, when he was entering through life all the way up, even at 15, when he finished school early enough to go on to school and to qualify himself, not just honorary doctorate degree. He earned his degree, so he was in preparation at that time. So when it was time for him to do what he was called to do, to be, he was prepared. He wasn't getting ready. He was prepared. And all God had to do was give him a little push and put him in the right direction, in the right path, and how he elevated to the place that where he was. And so my challenge and my question for each of us today is, are we being or are we preparing? And God wants us to be ready because he is coming back. And if he's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle, then praise God, you got to be. And so the scripture that God gave me to talk about tonight was two scriptures, basically. And so I was like, well, I really want to go into this a little bit more because I know I don't have but an hour, less than an hour, praise God. And so he's like, oh, so he allowed me to go with this particular passage of scripture, and we'll talk about the other scripture next week because we're still in the vein of making sure that we are in the being part of ready versus the getting ready part. And so I will be ready. But the scripture reference that God gave was Matthew 25:1-13. And it was the parable of the 10 virgins. And so I'm going to read through that, and then I'm going to share what God gave me to share with you on tonight. But it says, at the time of the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the groom. Come out to meet him." All of the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied. "There may not be enough oil for both of us. You instead go to those oil and buy some for yourselves." My page cut off. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready, be ready. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Now that was Matthew 25:1-13. My daughter says I say the scriptures too fast and she never gets to write it down. So I said it a couple of times and then I'll say it at the end. But this is the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, it was 10 of them that went. 5 were prepared and 5 were not. And so when we're talking about our lives, And over the past couple of weeks, I've been talking about our journey, our purpose, and why it is important for you to know what God has brought you to this planet for. And you need to be ready. You can't be getting ready when Jesus comes. And so many of us are waiting for that big sky to separate and Jesus to blow, or let the horn to blow, and then Jesus to appear and we'd be caught up. But many of us, that horn and Jesus appearing is as soon as you close your eyes, and that could be because you had a stroke, you had a heart attack, you just didn't wake up, whatever the case may be. You won't make it to then. So your time will come long before Jesus comes and parts of God and all of us be lifted up. So you got to be ready at all times. You can't wait and say, like many people, oh, I'm going to wait till such and such before I give my life to Christ because I got some things I need to do. Or, I'm going to get to church, but, you know, I got to do a few things. My life ain't ready, right? You know, I'm not ready. I'm going to get right first before. Okay. This is a perfect example of this story, how we can be in the midst of doing something, praise God, thinking that it's a good thing, but it's not the right thing because we're not ready. We have to be ready, not be getting ready. Now, maybe, like I said, our time to go is sooner than we think. And praise God, that's how I kind of get that close with one of my listeners on tonight, Ms. Logan. She's preparing to finish her doctorate degree for her plan, whatever God has to assign it for her. But now she's doing the necessary work. But if God was to come today, she's already ready. She's just doing the things that she needs to do, that she wants to do, to make sure that she's doing what God has assigned her to polish, if you will, to have a better understanding, to be able to speak, to be able to present herself, to be able to have a key to open unnecessary doors or necessary doors that she may be led to go through. But overall, she gave her life to Christ many years ago, and so she's prepared to see him, but she's just doing the necessary things to be ready in this system. And so I don't want anybody to be confused that, oh, I didn't accomplish this or I didn't get this done. No. God has an assignment for us all, and he knows the stages of where we are in that process. And so it's up to you to take advantage of the time that you have so that, praise God, like the 10 virgins, they had their lamps, they had their oil, had everything in order. They thought that too. And that's why it's so important when we talk about knowing your word, because when you know the word, God tells us to ask for wisdom, and he'll give it to you liberally. Well, many of us don't ask for wisdom. We're like, Lord, just help me out when I get here. Well, no, God wants us to be more specific. Go to the scripture and know the scripture for yourself. We hear all the time that we think that wisdom, God says that we can apply. Ask wisdom, he gives it liberally. But do you know where it is? Do you know what it means? Have you studied to know what that means and why it's important for us to be wise? Well, one of the things that I love about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is that he didn't probably understand the path that was designed for him at the time. He just knew that he was doing what God called him to do, much like, in my opinion, David. David didn't understand tending to the sheep was going to give him an understanding of what it means to care for, to lead, to guide. But all of that was in the process of him being prepared so that he would be ready when Goliath came, that he would be ready when the king was looking for him to kill him, and he knew how to be quiet and sit down somewhere. And even when he was in the midst of him where he could have killed him, because he was looking to kill him, but he didn't. He was wise enough to acknowledge the word of God, or not necessarily the word of God, but the acknowledgement of God at that time, to cut just a little bit of his robe and save it to show him, I was on you. I was on you. I could have killed you, but I didn't because I respect your authority. That comes from wisdom. And so these 10 virgins, they were probably raised properly to know that, you know, you can't go out there without no oil because it's going to run out. You're going out and you're going to be waiting for a while. But the other one, you know, that's why I think I love the story of the three little pigs, because they all grew up in the same environment. They all grew up not necessarily the people, but you know the story. And so, but two of them, you know, wanted to play. And they thought that, you know, I just have a little few sticks. I have a little straw. That'll be enough. I just need to cover myself. And that's all they thought about because they didn't allow themselves to think wider, to be more prepared to, in case, you know, other elements would come. Well, the third pig was wise enough to know, well, you know, there's danger. There's elements. You know, I want to play. I want to have a good time, too. But I know if I do this now, praise God, when it's time to have fun, I can have fun and still run and hide when I need to. And so we have to be mindful that when God is asking you to do certain things and we shy away because we're afraid or we have fear in our hearts or we're listening to the wrong voice. And remember, we talked about that in a couple of past weeks, that there's, you know, three main voices. It was kind of four. But you have your own voice, and then you have God's voice, and then you have the enemy's voice. And then in this day and time, we allow other people and other elements, TV and social media, to influence us, and we need to know that we hear God's voice. And if you can't discern God's voice, it is your time, high time, to find out how to hear God's voice. And the way you do that is through prayer and through the word and then being under the wise teaching. Not necessarily church. Church can be a factor, but sometimes church is not enough because you have to have teaching. And although the minister, and I say this often because I am one, when we study to show ourselves approved and rightly divide that word, we got the most of the information because we did the studying. Well, what even what I'm sharing tonight, if you don't go back and read this for yourself, how does it become part of you? You may be excited because I'm saying some things that are really hitting your spirit, but that ain't even really me. That's the Holy Spirit, because I asked God to help me to share whatever it was that he wanted me to lead to you, and it should be a confirmation for you, not something that just sounds good. It needs to be confirmation in the respect that this is a plan that God has for you and that you need to study, and if you don't understand it exactly, God, show me the scriptures to read. Bring or send somebody to me that can give it to me, an understanding to have an impactful revelation, because as I said last week, information is great, but revelation is more powerful, because that's the information that makes you move when you have a revelation from it. Because I know smoking is not good for me, but that don't stop me from smoking. When I get a revelation because you have lung disease, and if you take another smoke, you know, that's revelation. I need to stop. Or God just say, you need to put these down because I don't know how much longer you're going to have to be, you know, your grace is running out, and you put some things down. But you have to have the revelation to make the necessary change, this true change. And so we want to make sure that we understand when God tells us to prepare. That's why we have to read and study. Because if you don't, praise God, how will you know what the trumpet sounds like? You won't know. How will you know if it's your time, that it's your time to be put on a platform like Dr. Martin Luther King? And so I'm told, because of what I read, when he read that speech or gave his speech, I Have a Dream, he was weary. And I believe he was weary because he knew that his time was coming. And so praise God, Mahalia Jackson was one of those people, that he had the person to speak into him and to give him insight. And so if you don't have a mentor, and I pray God that he has given me so many mentors, and they're seasons of the times that I'm in, because they give me instruction, they give me wisdom, they encourage me, and many times they don't even know they're my mentors. And so I'm grateful for them, and I always say it, and I say it over and over again, and I know that they're tired of me saying it, but I am grateful, because they don't have to. Nobody has to speak life into you. They don't have to. God may assign them to, but you have to make a decision, because that's the part of choice that we have. We can either do what God has called us to do, or we don't. And so we're grateful for Dr. Martin Luther King, that he took that call, that he took that assignment, and he did it to the best of his ability, because he was prepared. He didn't start, oh, wow, okay, I'm over this movement. I better go get my doctorate so I can have a better understanding of how to say these words and how to explain why we're going with this no violence. I mean, amen. There were other well speakers and well prominent leaders during that time. I mean, people don't give Malcolm X enough credit, in my opinion. Well, praise God, I believe he had an assignment, and it was his assignment to do the route that he did. And was he true to it? Was he wrong in some areas? Absolutely. But that's the grace of God, that he gives us an opportunity to change things. And he did change towards the end, and he did have a better understanding. And so I just believe that God said he will never leave us nor forsake us. So praise God, it's never too late. And so I'm not saying that if you're not prepared today that that's wrong. I'm saying do what you need to do so that you can be ready so that when your time comes, whatever it is, whatever assignment God gives you, whenever it's time to move, that you're prepared. So now when we talk about being prepared, get ready and being ready, I like, again, that God prepared me to be a teacher first, and that he, in the teaching, that he gave me a fascination of words. And I love words, and that's probably why I love his words, but I love words, and I love to understand what they mean, how they mean, and even if I understand a word, I still look it up just because I want to make sure that I have the best understanding. And now that I have an assignment to share the gospel, I want to make sure that I'm using the proper words or saying at least what I believe God wants me to say. And so I always look it up. And one of the things that I like, according to my special Google friend, is being ready means to be fully prepared that you should have finished getting ready. And so when you talk about getting ready, you're starting your preparation. So one of the things, and I know that I still have an area of change in this particular area, of like saying I'm going to be ready at 8 o'clock. Being ready at 8 o'clock doesn't necessarily mean at 7:45 I start getting ready at 8 o'clock. To be ready, it's funny how I didn't quite understand it when my granny and all the people in my life growing up, they used to tell me, if you get your clothes ready through the week, make sure they iron and press and hanging up neatly in your closet, you're ready. So if you wake up at 7:55, you got to be ready at 8. You're already ready because everything's already organized and in route. Getting my lunch together, having my books prepared. So all I have to do is just slip my clothes on and go. So I've taken my bath the night before. That all that is be ready. But getting ready is getting ready at 7:55 and know I got to be somewhere at 8. You're not ready. I'm still getting in the process. And even at 8, I'm still getting ready because my mind hadn't even caught up to me yet getting up at 7:55 to be somewhere at 8 o'clock. We want to make sure that we're always in a state of being ready. Yes, you have to prepare, but that's why being preparation is important. That's why these 10 virgins were prepared. They had all the essentials that they needed, so when the bridegroom came, they was ready. They could make their move and go get their thing. Amen. And then the other girls had to run and find some other stuff, and then it was too late because the door was shut. Now, there are so many metaphors and assemblies in this parable that, you know, we could go with when Jesus comes and you haven't given your life to him. I mean, at that point, you can't get ready. You have to be ready when he comes. And when the door is shut, the door is shut. It's over. Can you imagine? I mean, I can't even fathom that. And that's why I do all the necessary things to make sure that I do what God has called me to do. And when I miss the step or miss the mark, I am quick to repent because I don't want that on my head. I don't want the door to be shut because I had fallen out with somebody and I didn't repent and God told me to repent at that time. And I said, well, Lord, I ain't ready yet. I'll call him tomorrow and I don't make it till tomorrow. I have to give an account for that. No, ma'am. No, if I know that God has told me to do something, you better be on your P's and Q's and get it done. Because if you don't, praise God, you'll be getting ready like those other virgins that didn't operate and wisdom. They actually called them foolish. Are you kidding me? No, I do not want to stand before him and say, well, you're foolish in many things. No, ma'am. I want to do the things that God has called me to do. And so I remember I was told that me going and getting the rest of my degree, you know, so late in life, why? And I'm like, because I know that God has given me an assignment, and I want to be able to rightly divide his word. I don't want to just be regurgitating what I've heard other preachers say and him and her and make people shout because what? I was preaching out of emotions. No, I want revelation change. I want you to hear the messages that I speak and make the necessary changes. Why? Because I want you to be prepared. I want you to be prepared, not be getting ready. I want you to be prepared. I want you to be prepared for whatever assignment that God gives you at that moment. It's interesting to me, too, sometimes I used to challenge God, or not challenge him, but ask him, well, why is it that sometimes we go through something, and then it's like, oh, okay, I get it. And then we recognize that situations have happened all the way around us. And it's like, Lord, why did you bring that to my remembrance? Because then it would have helped me when I was going through this. And it's like, because there's a lesson involved in that. Because if you already knew, then you wouldn't need me. And if we don't need God, then praise God, we think that we God. And no. And so it's interesting to me, this whole thing, me going through cancer. you know, I did the tumors behind my eye. My eyes were sitting on my cheek, literally, and I lost my vision. And I thought, okay, Lord, you heal me miraculously and put my eye back in the socket when they said that would never happen. But you did it. So I know I have a miracle. I know that I have gone through the fire and been through the flood and the storm and the rain with that whole process, because that lasted for 6 years. And they told me 6 months I would be permanently blind, and it was 6 years. So praise God, I knew that my testimony for life covered in that testimony. And so having COVID and then cancer and then having to go through all the stuff I had to go through in the midst of all that, and then now learning that I had a stroke, and I mean, it's like, Lord, really? I thought I learned what I was supposed to learn from the eye encounter. And he's like, no, baby, you still got a whole lot to learn if you want to follow me. And so now I understand when that scripture says that when you encounter challenges and situations to count it all joy, I can. And I ain't going to say never again that I got enough testimonies, because praise God, I don't want another big one like that to happen again. But nevertheless, if it happens, I'll be more prepared, because now I've been through some things. And even while I'm going through the next situation that I may go through, I know I'm still going to have to depend on him. And so when we don't depend on the things of God, we will lose sight of what the real lesson is involved in it. And so my girlfriend, Miss Elaine, she asked me probably in March or April, Leah, what is God trying to tell you? And I'm like, nothing, because I've already learned what I'm supposed to learn. I know I'm supposed to read. I know I'm supposed to study. I know I'm supposed to pray. But at the time, it was like, Lord, you know, you already know. I've been diligently studying. I have 3 ministry degrees. 3. I'm like, Lord, I know your word. But, I mean, you didn't have to do this for me to learn nothing else about. I know everything I'm supposed to know about you. But what I didn't know is I didn't know enough about me. I didn't know that I wasn't being a branch. I was trying to be the vine again. And sometimes we can allow ourselves to get, I'm ready, and I'm really just getting ready. Because like the verses, I just grabbed my jar, but I didn't grab a lamp. I wasn't prepared. But now I'm prepared. Praise God, I'm prepared now, because I don't want to do that again. But nevertheless, many times we are not prepared. And God wants us to be prepared for whatever assignment comes. It don't have to be death. Doesn't have to be locked or shut out of anywhere. It's just our regular assignment. If you don't know the assignment that God has for you, I suggest that you figure it out. Why? Because it's important. One of the coolest things that God taught me many, many years ago is that we had to have 5 mindsets. And that's why God always tells us that we have to renew our mind to know who God is. If you don't know who God is, and I tell you, and I cannot stress enough, it is important that you sit down somewhere and figure out what you must do to get into his presence. And one of those things I can honestly tell you is just to talk to him. If you open your mouth and open your heart, I promise you God will respond to you. Many times we're so busy talking to him that we don't allow him to respond back. And so when we don't allow him to respond back, how do you know? Because you directing the conversation. Have you ever noticed when you're in a conversation with somebody, if you don't allow them to respond at least a couple of times, you're dominating the conversation. And when you do that, then somebody's not having some effective listening, because there's more ways to listen than talking or being quiet. You have to be actively engaged in what people are saying. Because when you're not actively engaged, you're not really listening. You hear them, but you're not listening, because you should be able to respond to what has been said. And so sometimes when we're talking to God, we're telling him, Lord, I need you to do this, and thank you for this, and we want to go here, and we want to go there. But do we ever in our prayer time stop? And then have our paper and pencil that I often talk about, why it's important for us to write down what God says, because you know the enemy's going to steal it from you. He's going to let your favorite song come on. He's going to let your mama or your daddy or your girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever call. You're going to completely forget about the encounter you had with God. Write it down. So you write down, because many people don't even realize how God speaks to them. And so when I used to teach discipleship classes, it was comical to me when I'd say, okay, how many of y'all know some disciples? And a couple people raised their hand. I'm like, who's a disciple? And they're like, my grandmama. And I said, why is your grandma a disciple? Because she prays and she talks to God all the time. And then others, oh yeah, the pastor. And I'm like, but you didn't say yourself. Have you given your life to Christ? And they're like, well, yeah. Well, you're a disciple too. Are you not paying attention?
when the minister is preaching and he's talking to you and said, do you hear from God? Well, you can't hear from God if you close and don't know him. You have to know him. But are you spending enough private time with God to hear what he's saying? You can. And so how do you do that? You get the word and you read it. And then you wait, Lord, what do you want from me? What am I supposed to do from this? And I remember when, before I learned how to have adequate Bible study, I would just open up the Bible. Okay, Lord, where you want to go? And I just open up the Bible. But now I know I do that with purpose. Lord, I don't know what to read, but show me what you want me to read. And then, praise God, when you open up your Bible, it'll be something that he gives you to read. And then, praise God, don't be so quick to say, okay, I read it, I'm done. Ask him, Lord, what did you mean by this? What was I supposed to learn from this? And many times it won't happen right then, but for me, TV, the radio, other people, you know, sometimes I'm just walking in a bird or a car or something. I'll go by and they'll show me exactly what I was asking for. So you got to know how to look for him. So that's why, number one, you got to know who God is, and you got to know what he means to you. Many times we don't believe that. I remember years ago, I was really focused on learning the things of God because I was open at that point, because that was like the fourth time I'd given my life to Christ. But I believe that was the time that I really understood what it meant, and that's what I really wanted to do, what God called me to do. And I went to this service, and they was like, oh, they'll lay hands on you and tell you whatever, blah, blah, blah. And when it got to my turn, she said, you don't know what a father's love is, do you? And I thought, everybody's getting all these prophecies. Why does mine have to be, you don't know what a father's love? I'm like, well, no, my father died when I was 14. She said, no, I'm not talking about your real father. I'm talking about you don't know what the father's love is. And I was like, okay, that's all you got for me? I came all this way. I wanted some real revelation. But that was the best revelation because I didn't. I really didn't know what his love meant for me. That he said he would never leave me nor forsake me. That he gave me authority, because that was enough. That still makes my flesh crawl. I have enough power and authority to trample on scorpions and serpents, and they won't hurt me if I'm following his will and his way. Whew, amen. And so even with this lesson today, I was like, Lord, how can I teach this that I wasn't really ready? And he said, you're always ready because you know how to tap into me. And I said, you're right, Lord. I'm tripping. You're right. But I do have some praying angels that keep me uplifting in prayer that I can do that. But because I've done my work, I've done the preparation, so I am ready. I can preach at any moment because I know that God is always with me, and he will never leave me, and he's given me the power and authority to do what I need to do. So am I afraid to share his word? Absolutely not. Am I afraid to do what he told me to do? Sometimes. But nevertheless, I do it because I have to, because I don't want to be held responsible or accountable to the fallout of me not doing what God has called me to do. So one, you got to know God. You got to know that God loves you. Praise God. And then you got to know the power of prayer. You got to know. The prayer is only talking. Just like you listening to me talking, it's the same thing. You're listening to God. But, you know, I can open up the line and have you share some dialogue, but more importantly, when you talk to God in your private time, you got to know that he, mind you, he doesn't leave us hanging. Now, he doesn't always answer the way and as fast as we want him to, but he's always there. And so we got to make sure that when we're doing our prayer time, that it's organized. We don't go to God half nilly willy. When you talk to your friends and you got something you want to, you're going to make sure that you have everything that you want to say to them, because sometimes we even write it down so I won't forget. Text it to yourself, make sure that you remember. Girl, yeah, did you hear about that? God's the same way. And I believe because I talk to God so often and so much that the whole on my knees, closing my eyes, and, you know, having to make sure I be in the closet. Now, all those are great, and I do those at times. But I talk to God on a regular basis. Lord, is it time for me to get up yet, or do you want me to keep my eyes closed a little longer? And it's like, get up. And I'm like, can I stay here a little longer? Get up a little. Lord, I fell back to sleep. I'm sorry. I repent. Get up and do what I told you to do. That's the kind of this relationship I have. And one of my friends asked, she said, you really have talked to God like that? I'm like, absolutely. Because I developed a relationship to be able to hear his voice and know his voice and know, Lord, my eyes are a little weary. It's time to go to bed. But I want to finish this before I go to bed. If you want your eyes to be like they were, then you keep straining your eyes at that computer. And I know to shut it down and do it again. And so we don't listen to the quiet voice. And that was the thing that I had to learn, too. God speaks in a quiet, still voice. He's not loud like the devil, because the devil is loud. And he'll tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and do it 10, 15 times. And you hear every beat. But God's voice is soft. And so I asked, and I used to say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why do you speak so soft? And a minister ministered to me one time, and he said, God said that if you know his voice, you know his voice. Just like a child or even a parent. When we hear our kids, we know which one is ours when they say mama. Everybody in the room could be mamas, but we know our child when they say mama. We know the cry. Whether it's a cry because they're hungry, whether it's a cry because they're in danger, whether it's a cry because they're tired and just need to go to bed. We know because we know the voice. You have to know the voice of God, and that's why it's important for you to pray and have that relationship with him. Number three, you have to know you have purpose. You have purpose. God has designed each one of us for a reason and a season, and it is time for us to do what it's called to do, and if you don't know, ask him. Because we all have purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, we shared last week, God has a plan and a purpose for us. And if we don't know what that plan and that purpose is, then we need to figure it out because, praise God, there is a plan for you. He just didn't have us come here. There's a plan. And many of us become the vine and not the branch, and we dictate and determine where our life should go. I'm going to be a minister because that's what I feel in my heart, because that's what I want. But I had to learn, too. A minister doesn't necessarily mean pulpit presence. And when I say pulpit presence, you don't have to be a minister or associate minister or whatever the titles that they give inside the church to be a minister. We are all ministers. We all minister the word of God. So God gives us our own personal assignment. And whatever your assignment is, you got to be true to it. I remember I was laughing at a movie. This man was praying over the lockers, and he said that that was his assignment. And I laughed, and my aunt said, why you laugh? I said, because he really thinks his assignment is just to go to school and pray on people's lockers. And she said, Lee, you can't laugh at that. You don't know what that does for those people, for that school, that the angels are covering that school, because he's obedient and does that for that school. What if other people were called to that? Maybe there wouldn't be so many school shootings. Maybe there would be more resources in the schools. I mean, whatever your assignment is, do it. I didn't realize that my ministry to those that are in need was as strong as it was. I know I've always done it, but praise God, when I got involved and saw the seriousness of it and talked to a few people that believe that, you know, we're nothing, you know, we're scum, you know, we're not worthy of God's presence. Well, yes, you are. Who told you that? Why not? And so if people turn their nose up to them because they look different, they smell different, then praise God, they would believe that. It is our responsibility. And again, Dr. Martin Luther King, he did things to provide services for people. That is our responsibility. God wants us to show his love. And one of the things that I have to say, one of my favorite quotes from him is I don't know if I'm going to say it. Oh, yeah, I'll say it right because I have it right here. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And so it's interesting to me and my girlfriends this weekend, praise God, they was had some real good Kool-Aid and they didn't want to give me none. And I was like, you know, come on, y'all. Amen. And so I understand when she said no. And she understood my light. And so hopefully my light will drive out darkness. But not necessarily it has to be, you know, as drastic as that statement sounds. It's just little things. I tell my daughter, Austin, you are in a room full of your cousins. Why not be the light in that room and say something to draw questions or answers? Like I said about the whole holiday thing. I love the fact that when Thanksgiving, Christmas, favorite holidays. Not because it's a holiday necessarily itself, but it's the opportunity that I can share love in dark places. Family members that feel mistreated or feel neglected, God draws me to those people to have conversations. You know, what is it that you really need? You know, why do you sit by yourself? And even being in organizations and different things that we're in, we're supposed to be the light in those organizations. We're supposed to be able to allow our light to shine so they can be drawn to you too, because God has a way of doing it.
minister told me once, call our community. When God puts us in places where we can draw people, that's what the whole purpose is, about draw me and I do. But it is our responsibility to know our purpose. Number four, you have to know that you have overcome the enemy. I think one of the biggest things, and I'm writing a book and I'm so excited that God has blessed me to be able to do it, is enticed and entangled by Satan. And so I'm writing a book in the voice of Satan. And so it's interesting to me that God gave that to me, because I just got over being scared of the dark a couple of years ago, literally scared of the dark, because I believe that the enemy told me years ago that if I pursue myself in a closer relationship with God, that he would reveal himself to me. And then after I recognized I had power and authority, amen, that I could trample on scorpions and something to make my heart sing, then it was, okay, well, since I can't get you, I'm going to get your children. And so I was, oh, okay, well, Lord, I got to make sure that they cover. So I got to teach them, not knowing that that was God's plan in that was his plan. And so a minister prophesied over me once, and she said, what you fear the most, God will use for you to teach. And so me writing this book, writing it in his, if you will, his personality, praise God, I'm like, Lord, I can't do that. Because I don't want him tapping me on the shoulder and say, no, change that word. I wouldn't have said it that word. But it wasn't that way when God gave me the revelation. I had to get ready so that I could be ready when it's time for me to write. And now that I'm almost finished with the book, praise God, I don't have no fear. I have no fear that he's going to bother me. I have no fear that he's going to bother my family. I don't have no fear that he's going to bother anything around me. Although he is showing his ugly head in many areas, but I see him now. I see him as a defeated foe. I know that I have overcome him. Why? Because I know that the blood of Jesus covers me. And I know in the word, because I studied the word, I know that all I have to say is Jesus. And he trembles because I mean it when I say it. I'm not just saying it willy-nilly, because I know that there's power behind the name of Jesus. But you got to know who God is. You got to know what he means to you. You got to understand, praise God, your purpose. And then you got to know that you've overcome them all. And then, praise God, you got to be bold about it. You got to be confident. You got to walk like you know the man. You know the man. And he, praise God, don't have skin on him. Amen. Although one of my girlfriends said she wanted a man of God with skin on him. Amen. But nevertheless, we talk about the man. We're talking about God. If you know that God has you, then you can walk bold. I've said this before, and I know my girlfriends, that some of them are listening from the volleyball team, that it bothered me that my child didn't make the team when I knew she was qualified. And then I was told she couldn't make it because she was too short. And so, of course, I was having surgery the next day, so I couldn't show out, praise God, which was probably by design by God, too. And so all I could do was leave. But I talked to him, and I'm like, Lord, you know that my child deserves to be on that team. I don't know what you got to do, hook or crook. You got to make this clear to me to understand, because I'm serving you, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And you said if I remain in your word and your words remain in me, I can ask whatever I wish, and it will be granted. I'm asking you, Lord, to make a way. And so, lo and behold, she's on the team. Well, praise God, it wasn't because, you know, amen. We just know that God made some moves and some kind of moves, and she had to be prepared. She wasn't getting ready. She was already ready. She was prepared. And so my challenge to all of you is that even when the enemy interferes, you can't take anything away from you that God has already designed. It may be temporary. It may be a delay, but it's not denied. And so we got to make sure that we're understanding why it's important for us to be ready and not be getting ready. Now, getting ready is a part of preparation. But you got to be ready, even if a fire comes. And although you got all them hanging clothes nice and crisp and ironed in your closet and your shoes lined up, when it says fire, you got to run, you got to be prepared. And so my sister, I crack up over her because she has this major kit. If something falls out, she got enough food, she got blankets, she got everything that's all in one place. All she got to do is grab it. She has not only that in the closet, she has one in her car, and she got somewhere else safe so she can get other things so she can make sure, because her kid has some challenges of his eating and allergies. She had to be prepared, so she did all that while she was getting ready, so that anything happens, she is ready. She's not figuring out where she got to go to get everything. She has several. Amen. So we got to be prepared. Take the lesson from the lesson from today in Matthew 25 of the virgins. There were five. They were kind of prepared because they knew to bring the oil, but they didn't have any lamp. They had no light.
So they had to go get what they needed to make sure that they had all the equipment that they needed. And by the time they went and got it, because they were foolish and didn't prepare, the door was shut and they were locked out. And so I want you to remember 13, if nothing else, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour that your time will come. And I'm not necessarily talking about death. It's just the assignment for you to do what God has called you to do, to reach out to bless somebody or to be a blessing to somebody else or them to be a blessing to you and know how to respond to it. We got to be ready, thanks. We got to be ready. So now, I know that I could keep talking, and my grandma teases me all the time that I could talk a full hour, but I could talk a whole lot of time about the things of God because he's just been that good to me, but I'm out of time. Not out of talk, but I am out of time. And so tune in again next week because we're on every Monday night, praise God, and we're trying our best to be obedient to the time because I know my granny loves to hear our favorite song when we close out every praise belongs to God because it does. And I have a girlfriend that she said, Leah, the internet cuts us off so we don't get to hear the whole song. So she said, so I already have it queued up on my computer and I play it for myself. But every praise does belong to God. And so I'm going to go ahead and end now and make sure that I ask you to make sure that you do just three things. I want you to follow what the lesson was because whatever God told you to do, make sure you do it. But I want you to remember, if you start your day with prayer and then pray throughout your day and then end your day with prayer, you will always be ready for him, praise God, because he will respond to you. And make sure you write it down what he tells you to do so you can be ready at all times. But in the meantime, do what you got to do to be prepared, but be ready at all times. Again, this is Leah Tillings at Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I love you. Have a wonderful week, and see you on next Monday. God bless.
Let me hear the worshipers!
One accord.
One accord.
Come on, say every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.